Minasmanu is coming up soon. Minasmanu is coming up soon for all of us. It's the time to prepare for what's going to happen when you leave yeshiva, when you get out. See, it's different. You've been learning most of the day, some of you, and with that, you know, you have a mashkiach and rabbeim that are breathing down your neck, that are sitting there and telling you what you have to do and what you can't do, and it's different when you're no longer. See, davening three times a day is no longer, you know, pushed upon yourself where I look at somebody and say, how could you not be, etc. It's now your own. Having a set seder is something that you really need to do on your own, right? There's no one there to pick you up when you miss, and there's no one there to yell at you and say, hey, why do you miss? It's going to be up to you. And those things are pushed. I'm not going to really go on about them because those are obvious. They're obvious that you need to get up for davening for three times a day. It's obvious that you have to be in seder. I'm just saying that it's difficult when you haven't been working on those things all day long now. When you haven't been working on those things and they're not coming easy to you when you're in yeshiva, right? It's much more difficult to do them when you're out of yeshiva and you don't have the atmosphere around you and you don't have a set time for everything and you're just sort of figuring it out on the fly when Mincha Maariv is and when Shacharis is and whatever it is. Now, I also know that it's definitely possible for some people to become even stronger, even starker during their absence from yeshiva. When they're in yeshiva, they feel, you know, sort of like lackadaisical, like I'm learning anywhere, I'm doing this anyway. What difference does it make? When you're on your own, or when the, you know, minion is expecting me to be there and Bala Basim are expecting me to be there, then all of a sudden people wake up and they say, well, I gotta go. I have to be there. I definitely understand that as well. That definitely does happen. No matter how it is, you have to figure out something to make sure that that's going to happen. And if nothing else, you have a total of 2 weeks and 3 days to work on yourself and to make sure that you're in the right position to succeed when that next week comes along, when nothing else is happening and you're sort of on your own. You have 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks to figure that out, if nothing else. And if it need be, at the very end of the day, you need something to push yourself in that direction. Okay, that's something you're going to have to figure out on your own. But there's something else that I wanted to really concentrate on when it comes to Minasmanim. There's a Gemara. It's on Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. It says, Omar Rava. Rava comes along and says, B'shoh shemachnisin adam ledin. When a person goes in for his final judgment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'asid lavo. It's possible this is after death. It's possible that it's after Tzchiyas HaMeisim. But when you're going into your final din, here's what they ask you. Number one, Omrim Lo. Nasasa v'nasata v'emuna. Did you do your business, your masa u'matan? Was that done with faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? With belief that He will take care of you, that everything will be worked out? Did you do your business knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved the whole way through? That's the first question that's asked you. Number two, kavati itim l'Torah. Did you set up times to learn Torah? Did you set up times where you know you were set to go to Seder, where you were allowed to be there? That's the second question. You see already how important it is for a person to do business honestly, whatever he's doing. It doesn't matter what you're doing, as long as you believe that God was mazmin your parnasa, took care of your parnasa for you, allowed you to get the job that you have, and that the abilities that you have in order to do that job were also given to you by God. That's the concept of nasa. Did you truly believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was there? It's even more important than having Kviyas Itim LaTorah, than setting up a time to be able to sit and learn. That's number two. Number three is Asakta Bapru Ravu. And in all seriousness, that question can be used for everybody, even if you're not dating right now, or even if you're even married. The question is, are you preparing yourself to be a good husband, a good father? Are you osik in the inyan of what Puravu stands for? Are you just pushing everything off, saying, oh, whatever it is? What are you considering? What's your plans to make yourself even better and more ready for that situation which is coming up so soon? Have you been osik in those types of issues? See, peace in Yeshua. Question number four is, have you looked forward to a salvation to Mashiach coming? Have you looked forward and said, everything will be there when Mashiach comes? Even if it's not necessarily true, Lefi the Rambam, the only thing that changes is the Shibud Malchus. But are you looking forward to a Mashiach coming, saving Klal Yisrael from this Shibud Malchus, where there will be a greater amount of Gilui Shechina in the world? Are you looking forward to that? Are you saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what I want every day, even if it might go against my plans of the Cubs winning the 2015 World Series? Are you willing to give up something big, right, in order for that to happen? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do for such a situation? And the final two questions are Pilpalta v'chokma and Evanta dover mitok dover. Both of those seem to be dealing with Gemara's issues within your learning, but it's really a lot deeper than that. Pilpalta v'chokma. Have you been wise, not only in your decision making and things like that, but have you tried to figure out things in the world, how things work? Have you worked, even if it's not dealing with Torah itself, which obviously is the number one and the ikar behind everything, but have you been methodical to try to figure out what does it mean when electricity is out there? I know it's usher for me to turn on and turn off a light, but what does it mean? Why is it usher for me to turn on and off a light? What does it mean that it's bone or that it's mavir or that it's makavapatish in some way? What does it mean to try to figure out these things and to forget about the learning aspect, forget about that aspect, to try to figure out how this world runs? How does weather work? How do hurricanes work? Why do these things happen only at certain times? Just simple things. Have you gotten involved with the wisdom of the world to try to figure out certain things which you might take for granted? Why your body works? Certain issues that really have no bearing on my entire life, but it does. On the other hand, it does. And even that can be considered for learning. I try to use everything I learn whenever it comes to anything out there and try to add it on to my experience of learning. It took me a long time to figure out the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, but as soon as I looked through a book that dealt with the phases of the moon and where the moon appears and why the moon appears that way, it became the easiest thing in the world to understand the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It no longer was a question of where the moon appears in the sky. And I couldn't figure out for years, I could not figure out why a certain shul in Eretz Yisrael had a huge sign of Kiddush Levana on one side of the shul. And I always said, what if the moon goes on the other side of the shul? What if the moon's on the other side? What do you do? How are you going to say Kiddush Levana? It took me like, it was like a mind-blowing experience where all of a sudden I realized the moon only appears in the northern hemisphere on the south side of the sky. I was like, oh! It was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Like, why shouldn't we try to figure those things out? It helps for everything. Every part of our learning helps when you're propal to the kofa. And Ibanta Dover Mitok Dover is, have you understand the mechanics behind things? Have you looked behind and tried to figure things out? See, you could save a lot of money, and I still am not, you know, who's an expert in this, but do you know how much money you could save if you became your own handyman? You became your own car repairman? Aside from saving yourself money, do you know how much you can help other people for free if you're a big tzaddik, or, you know, for money if you're not as big of a tzaddik, right? To either work for chaverim or to do your own chaverim for money. Chaverim with a little cash sign at the very, very end, right? Do you realize how much money could be made by getting up just by taking care of it yourself? It's something that you just need to look up a few books and maybe see somebody how they're doing it and figure out, like, how to change your own oil, right? How to take care of your car, how to change and clean spark plugs. They really are easy things. No one's asking you to take apart the car and put it back together. That would be dumb, and nobody should do that. But to be able to figure out how your car works and how much money you could save from it, that's the Ibanta Dover Mitok Dover. Have you gotten into the Havana behind things, aside from the learning aspect of understanding what it means by this in the Chumash and that in the Gemara, etc., but really getting involved? All of these things have an aspect that deal with your life outside of yeshiva. In yeshiva, you're living in a fake world. It's not a reality, because your life, listen, hopefully it will be, but then maybe your life can be a world of kola where you're sitting and learning and doing nothing else all day long. I hope that everybody gets the opportunity. But the reality is, people have to work. Everybody's going to have to work. And whether it's working as a Rebbe or working as a used car salesman, whatever it's going to be, and they're very similar, both of them, right, in all those types of things, you're going to have to get involved with so many things that are just not there in your regular yeshiva day. Yes, there are ways to be osik and pru revu while you're in the middle of yeshiva to improve yourself, make yourself more available to understand what it means to be a good husband and a good father. But the real time for that is when you're outside of yeshiva and seeing how you spend your time and what you do. Are you going to be the father who comes home after a long day of work and immediately flips on the TV and starts going from channel to channel to go figure out what's going on? Are you going to be the father where when the Bears game is on, there is nothing else happening for 3.5 hours. That doesn't make you a bad father. It doesn't make you a bad father. But it does define you as a father. If your kid has a play at yeshiva, let's call it, right, that you have to go to, and the Bears game is on, are you going to be that father who's like looking up every couple seconds and then looking down at their phone, watching the game on their phone the entire time when you're there? Because there are many, many fathers that are like that. But I think, I'm not positive, but I think even the most non-Jew of the non-Jew will admit to you that at some point you got to live for your family. So what kind of a person are you? What's dinner like when you want to get home? If you're the person who every time he goes back to his room, the first thing you're doing is you're on your phone and you're doing this or whatever it is, that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. So all that does come into play. But let's go into a lot of things in this Gemara. The Gemara is so fully loaded. Kavati Yitzin L'Torah is such an important thing. Just obviously, if you're sitting and working all day, it's not going to be easy to be able to get off and to be able to sit down and to set up a Seder. I remember when I was working, throughout high school as a counselor in camps. So, you know, when you got home from camp and you're in high school, what are you going to do afterward? You're definitely not setting up a Seder, maybe a Seder for something else, but not Seder for learning, right? That's not happening. Seder in basketball, Seder in, you know, a TV show. But you're not doing anything else. You're in base matters. You all went to Eretz Yisrael. So I remember coming back from Eretz Yisrael, working in a camp, and the camp was from 8:30 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't remember what it was. And I set up a Seder afterward, and there was nothing more difficult than going to that Seder after camp. Nothing. You couldn't imagine. I'm sure you can't imagine. There was nothing more difficult. I set up the Seder. I had a chavrusa, and I wanted to go there, but any excuse that I could have to break that Seder, I really wanted to use it. Sometimes I did, and sometimes I didn't. You know, I was like, well, I might have to make dinner tonight, or I don't know, I might have to order dinner, and that'll take me 2.5 hours. You know, anything you do, in order, you're just sitting there, and you're tired. You're really, really tired. You worked really hard all day. To set up a Seder afterward is really, really difficult. Set up a Seder beforehand, to wake up early in the morning and do that, it takes a big tzaddik to get up really early in the morning and do it before Shacharis when you're around. That's one thing. There's no question that you can't just work and chill out and not have anything doing Ruchnius wise. Even if you have that Shabbos, it can't be, your week cannot be based on 1 hour or 2 hours that you have on Shabbos. It can't be that way. It's going to be so difficult for you. But Nasasav and Nasatav Amunah is also an important point. Aside from the Amunah aspect, you are going to have a lot of jobs throughout your life that are going to be cash only, under the table, right? Where you're not going to necessarily think about anything. Now, I know a lot of you are studying to become accountants, right? There's difficulties in taking that money and not reporting it for taxes. L'halacha, nasasa v'nasata v'amuna means that you pay taxes and you give the money over to the authorities when that's supposed to go to the authorities. If halachically speaking, and by that I mean dina de malchusa dina, they say that you have to report something, then you have to report it. You work for a weekend as a for a catering company, right? And I know there are lots of people here that do that. And you make $100 for the weekend. Made $100 for the weekend. Are you required to report that $100? It is not in a paycheck. They are not taking taxes off. So are you required to report that or not? Now, I am not an accountant. You guys are, most of you. So because of that, I can't tell you whether you are or you aren't supposed to do it. But nasasa v'nasata v'amuna means that even if I'm just working on the side, there are things that you must report. And not reporting it is cheating the government. And that is geneva or gezela. And by doing so, you're running into issues in the sauce of an asata b'amuna. You have a shaila? Good. Ask that shaila to your rav. You want to figure out, I'm getting a paycheck, right, that's really, it's in this way, in that way, whatever. So go ask a shaila. Go find out. There's a Choshen Mishpat Kollel that's in town in Chicago. There are many accountants, three of them that sit and daven with us mincha every single day, who will be able to tell you what halachically you are allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. But to live a life where the government's not going to catch me, so what difference does it make? That's gotten, number one, it's gotten people into a ton of trouble. And number two, it's a massive Chilul Hashem if you ever get caught. Number three, it is pretty much straight out Geneva and Gezela. If you're required to report it and you don't. So you find out, do I have to report tips? when I work for a weekend, is that a tip? Or is that considered my actual working? What do I get if I'm spending money on something and they're paying me back? What's the status of that money? All these things are shilas that need to be asked. And if you're not asking them, number one, because you're afraid to, because you don't want to lose that certain amount of money for a week, it's wrong. That really is wrong. And you can't excuse it by saying, well, don't worry, I'll give miser. And if I give miser, then it should make up for all the taxes and I'm not giving. That's not halachically correct. And it could be that your miser is a mitzvah bal baveira. If the money is coming out of the money that you would have given to taxes, meaning from stolen money, then how is that not a mitzvah bal baveira? Now, I am not a posek, and I'm not dealing with this specifically. I don't want to deal with this specifically. I'm just saying, especially in the summer, when you're going to be dealing with jobs that are not all going to be straightforward, here's where it is, that's it. You have to start thinking to yourself, what am I supposed to do when it comes to all this money and it comes to tax season? How am I supposed to report it? What am I supposed to say? What am I not supposed to say? That is important. Forget about the halachic aspect for a second. Just simply put, for you, you don't want to live your life where if it's difficult for you to give up $10 out of $100, I'm telling you it will be difficult to get rid of $10,000 out of $100,000. That's going to be almost impossible for you. If you can't do it now, there's no way you're going to do it then. And then it's going to get much, much worse. And when the money is huge amounts of money, you're dealing with millions, literally millions of dollars, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? When you just, it's a little bit, it's this and that and the other, what are you supposed to do at that point? That's one thing. And again, that takes an accountant. That takes an accountant who knows the federal and the state taxes and everything like that. And just, that's that. And then the final line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Afiu hachi." Even through all that, "Yiras Hashem hiotzaro." If your storage house is filled with yiras Hashem, with your awe of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, then good. Then mutar. Then it's good, right? Ilo lo. And if not, then none of this really means anything at all. At the end of the day, if Yiras Hashem is not added on to all the good things that you're doing, you're a good person. At the end of the day, you're a good person. I really do trust. I trust that every day I'm doing everything fully, financially, fiscally, honestly. I'm doing everything honestly. I'm spending my time wisely. I'm doing everything I need to do, and I'm a good husband, I'm a good father, I'm a good everything. But there has to be a bit of Yiras Hashem mixed in. Mashal. La'adam she'omar l'shlucho, heli kor chitin la'aliyam. So mashal to a guy who says to his shliach, bring me a kor of chitin. A kor is a large amount. Bring me a kor of wheat, la'aliyah, up to a certain area. So omar le, so halach v'halalo, the shliach went ahead and did it. He brought him up the everything. Omar le, irata li'dahem, chumtun. Did you add in a little bit of a preservative to be able to keep the wheat? Did you make sure you put in that preservative into the wheat to make sure that the wheat stays fresh? Amalei lav, says the shliach, no. Amalei mutavim lo alisa. He said, you know what? It would have been better if you wouldn't have done anything at all. Probably would have been better had you not brought up any of the wheat at all. You didn't bring the preservative. Now, think about that for a second. What does it mean it would have been better if you didn't do anything at all? At least you ended up with some of the wheat. The wheat's still in your storage house. Sure, it might be rotting little by little, but at least you'll end up with something, right? If you wouldn't have done anything at all, then there'd be nothing. So why is it better to do nothing than it is to bring up the wheat and lose some of it to rot because you didn't put in that kav chumtun? Why is that any better? So the answer is obvious, right? The answer is that if you're doing something, do it well. If you're not doing something, it might not be worth it. I told some people this story before, and it's not a suggestion. This is not what you do. But I was a stupid little married person, and this is what happened. My wife used to make me chocolate chip cookies when we first got married. And sometimes she didn't realize that cookies should be in there for 10 minutes or 11 minutes, and she'd leave them in there for 13 or 14 minutes. And they'd come out burnt. And she would serve them to me, and they were burnt chocolate chip cookies. So I said to my wife, listen, honey, you don't have to bake me cookies. I'd rather you not bake them at all than bake them badly. That was a bad line. You know why that's a bad line? Because I didn't get cookies for 6 years. 6 years. Even the ones that I bought at stores, they were destroyed. Nothing. For 6 years, I was cookieless. right? That's a lot. That's a lot. Okay, that might not be literal. That may be a bit of an exaggeration, but it was 5.5 years at least. So I can just tell you, obviously, that's not the line you use, but the idea is somewhat the same. When something is done badly, sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's worse. Not when it comes to your wife, then everything is good. But for everything else, it depends. If a person davens, and his davening consists of 10 minutes in the base medrash, where out of those 10 minutes, you throw on your tefillin, you say a bunch of words, and then you run out. Your mindset is, I daven shacharis. What do you want from me? I did everything I was supposed to do. But you didn't. You were there for 10 minutes of davening. You put on your tefillin barely. And your davening wasn't a real davening. I want you to daven well. Is that better than not davening at all? That I'm not going to tell you. That I can't tell you. The way the Gemara is saying it, yes. The Gemara is saying, yes, it's better to not daven at all, because when you don't daven at all, then you'll sit there with the guilt saying to yourself, oh, I wish I would have done it. I wish I would have davened. I feel terrible that I didn't daven. But in the other hand, where you think you davened, you just did it badly, what's going to be? What's going to be with that davening? What's going to be with that tefillah? You don't even realize. So you go out there after 120, you go up to Shemayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to you, you really didn't daven for 3 years straight. And I said, what do you mean? Of course I davened. Of course I davened. I was there every single day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on the rewind button, right? The little tape, rewinds it, plays it for you, and you see how you were there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows you. It would have been better if you wouldn't have gone, because you would have learned a lesson. Because you went like this, you didn't learn your lesson. You didn't even realize what was wrong. You don't know. And that's where Yiras Hashem comes into play. It's scary. It really is scary. Yiras Hashem Yitzhoro means you've got to find that Yiras Hashem that's stored up within you. And that's difficult. Not everyone can do it. It's a very, very difficult thing to find and a difficult thing to do, to get involved with. It's almost as if you're sitting there and saying, I can't just learn Torah. I'm learning Torah, and at the same time, I'm in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the learning Torah is just for an intellectual pursuit, just to figure out why grass grows, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's still a chokma, but it's not the way that it's supposed to be. And that's the pshat behind the parsha, behind the halos chasaneros. El mul pinei ha-ma'ora menorah ya'iru shivasaneros. It's an unbelievable chasam sofer. Where all the six branches of wisdom in the world, I'm not so sure I have them all down, but it's astrology, mathematics, mechanics, nature, I don't remember what the other ones were. You could probably think of the music, and there was one other. All lead to the one branch that leads up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they're all pointed in that direction, Al-Mul Panayim of the Menorah, to the front of the Menorah, Yehiru Shivas Menorah, if they're all lit up that way, good. And if not, you're just learning a bunch of different branches of wisdom, and it's good. I mean, you'll be a good person, but that's not what we want. I want the Yiras Hashem. Yiras Manim is a time to work on Yiras Hashem. Work on your own Yiras Hashem. What do I really think? What do I really want? What am I doing to be able to put that into your head and to think about it and to say to yourself what you want? In general, it's a good time to work on that Yiras Hashem. Doesn't mean you can't do it in yeshiva. Of course you got to do it in yeshiva. But yeshiva is really to prepare you as a soldier for what's going to be when you're out. And the general is no longer there, and you're going to be on your own. What's the soldier like now that the general is not forcing him to do something? That's really what yeshiva is all about. It's hard to have your own individual thinking during that time. You can have it during Banastaram, but it's difficult at any other time. You can't really do the type of learning you want or what you want to do at any time. It's really the general decides, you go ahead and do it. Outside of yeshiva, you have that break. That's the time where Yiras Hashem Yotzaro is the perfect time to figure out what is that Yiras Hashem, what should I be working, what should I be doing? That's the perfect time to be able to do it. Shmi Zocha, that we should find all of these things. Not just in Asakta and Asakta Bamuna, not just the Asakta, the Puravu, or the Osik Betora. Everything, every aspect of our lives should be improved by going through Ben Hazmanim and thinking our way through it. Really thinking our way through and getting ourselves done with it. When we're Zocha, we'll see a difference in our lives. It will make a difference. And you're going to sit there and you're going to realize when you wake up for chakras without anybody telling you, without needing an alarm clock that somehow didn't go off this morning, right? You'll just be able to wake up automatically without any problems, where your learning is just automatic. It's automatic that I'm going to Seder, and I'm not going to question that whatsoever. Then all of a sudden you realize you have that Yiras Hashem. And if without it, let's not talk about it without it. Let's go with the with. Let's treat it with the whip. Guys, everything should be good.